At 6 o'clock every night of the year, the early edition of Pravda is ready to roll. It will be delivered the next morning from Vladivostok to Leningrad, from Murmansk to Odessa. It may contain the latest communique from the Kremlin or news of the opening of a highway in Tashkent. Perhaps official reaction to a Reagan speech or a report on the Ukrainian harvest. But don't try to find late headlines on the front page, for that is reserved for propaganda, for editorials. You're watching an early press run of the most influential of the 8,000 different newspapers published in the Soviet Union. Pravda's massive headquarters on Pravda Street in central Moscow. Bigger than any newspaper building I have ever seen before, and yet only 400 editorial personnel labor inside, turning out the 6 pages, 8 on Mondays, that Soviet citizens cannot do without. To work here at Pravda, it seems, is the dream of every aspiring young Soviet journalist. Less than 200 of those 400 employees write and edit for Pravda. The rest are researchers, clerical help, technical personnel. And not all the reporters are professional journalists. Many are space scientists, engineers, architects, academics, and propaganda experts. Some of them will spend 20 or 30 comfortable years working for Pravda. Strangely, you'll find no newsroom here, none of the excitement, none of the bustle that characterizes American newspapers. The atmosphere is more like a university, a think tank. The formal editorial day begins with the 11 o'clock conference, attended by the top correspondents, the special columnists, editors, even the head of the letters department. The chief editor, Viktor Afanasyev, arrives last like a commanding general. He used to be a professor of philosophy, was never a reporter, and he runs Pravda for the Soviet Union Central Committee. In fact, he is a member of that Central Committee. He spends more time there than at Pravda. They are the elite of all Soviet journalists, well paid by Soviet standards. They are party members, few are women. And mostly at these editorial meetings, they talk over plans for future stories. But at the session we attended, all business was concluded in less than 5 minutes, and everyone was off to his private office to shape another edition of this unique institution. The first editor, Lenin, started Pravda in 1912. It began as a kind of revolutionary pamphlet. Viktor Afanasyev is hardly a revolutionary. He is the Soviet establishment. What is your understanding of the difference between the role of the newspaper, the function of the newspaper, in the Soviet Union and the United States?
Unlike our newspapers, Pravda in particular, American newspapers do conceal their party loyalty. They consider themselves independent. But the truth is that they are also working for a certain class. They're working for those who pay them. This, if you like, is the substantial difference. As for, well, differences in format, you have very thick newspapers, very bulky ones. If you haven't got a good breakfast, you wouldn't be able to lift an issue, especially a Sunday edition. There is a lot of commercial advertising, a lot of rubbish, if you like, all sorts of scandal peeping into keyholes. There are the so-called life stories of actresses and actors. Devil knows what you can find in such a paper. We don't publish nonsense. We are not after scoops and sensations. We are giving, so to say, the quintessence of what is going on in the world. Our size doesn't allow us more than that. And then, it is not our habit to write about sexual matters and other such things.
But the masses of people, the 50 million people who read Pravda every day, they do not hear how much foreign aid you give to Cuba, how many casualties you have had in Afghanistan, how many tons of wheat you buy from the United States. Why not? Is that not news?
Это что, разве не новость?
Well, this is news, but we consider that our Soviet reader can live without it. I think he'd survive, even if he wouldn't know how much and of what we've sent to Cuba and how we did it. This is not the news which is absolutely vital for human survival.
On the January day that we visited the chief editor, Pravda's front page ran an editorial criticizing the production of useless commodities and urging more market research. In the center of page one, a list of candidates for the Supreme Soviet, the parliament. At the bottom of the page, an item pointing out that the complete text of Foreign Minister Gromyko's anti-U.S. Stockholm speech was inside on page four. And sure enough, that speech took up almost all of page four. Opposite, on page five, there was the headline, American Reaction. But it was U.S. congressional comment on a speech by President Reagan, mostly from Democrats critical of the speech. The most prominent article on page five was an editorial about General Bernard Rogers, chief of NATO forces, allegedly ordering troops to fire on West German peace demonstrators. But the Pentagon says General Rogers never gave such an order. Pages 2, 3, and 6, this day as usual, covered Communist Party life, domestic reports, sports, cultural events, the weather, radio and TV listings, and letters to the editor. And one of the most popular features in Pravda are those letters to the editor, which can be critical of practically every ill in the Soviet Union except the party and the leadership. Pravda receives about 600,000 letters a year, and though only 6,000 of them are published, every one of them is carefully answered by someone on Pravda's staff. They may come from workers complaining about dishonesty in the management of the factory in which they work, or criticism of the slowness in getting spare parts for trucks, or why the bus service is so poor. Pravda's editors like to show off this department as an example of democracy at work in the Soviet Union. The letters are a gauge of public opinion. In fact, summaries of complaints in these letters are prepared regularly for the Central Committee and the Politburo. But in addition to the letters, Pravda's regional correspondents, of which there are 62, are on-the-spot observers of what Soviet citizens are thinking. In effect, they are the eyes and ears of the Kremlin. And 1,500 miles south of Moscow, Pravda's correspondent in Tbilisi, capital of the Republic of Georgia, is Georgi Lebanidze, for 30 years a political watchdog and journalist, on assignment in his chauffeured Volga, complete with shortwave radio telephone. We followed him for a day and the evening that followed. He is a figure in Soviet Georgia. He entertains, as here at his own home, and he is entertained by those who seek his favor. He's a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party in Georgia and is credited with cleaning up the party there after a Pravda series he wrote some years back about corruption and deviations from the party line, which resulted in the purge of some party leaders there. The telex room back in Moscow receives not only dispatches from Lebanidze and the other domestic correspondents, but from 48 foreign correspondents as well, along with uncensored reports from Reuters, from the French news agency AFP. Of course, the Soviet news agencies TASS and Novosti are also available. But Pravda relies heavily on its own foreign correspondents, like Gennady Vasilyev, who was assigned to Washington. Vasilyev, a 20-year veteran with Pravda, is on his third tour of duty in the United States. He knows America well, despite U.S. government restrictions on his movements, similar to restrictions put on American correspondents who are resident in Moscow. Vasilyev is accredited to the State Department, but he is still waiting for a White House press pass.
Switch to another subject, maybe.
Vasilyev told us he believes that similar press briefings should take place in Moscow to bring the Soviet point of view to a larger audience. After the State Department briefing, we asked him the one question on everyone's mind.
I have been told over and over that if you are a foreign correspondent for Pravda, and if you spend some time overseas, they really trust you, and that means you are KGB. Simple question.
Who told you that?
Defectors from the Soviet Union. It is, I say, well known. It is surmised. Simple question. Are you KGB?
Michael, you know, excuse me, but this question is produced by the mentality of Cold War. I know you well, you know.
Well, you know me well.
Yes, I don't think you to be a general of CIA, though you are a general and maybe you are field marshal in your field as a journalist.
Yes.
Why do you think me to be a KGB man? And you know, come to me with preconceived idea as something established, you know. Defectors, they are telling what they need to say to live here, to survive. I am not a PhD man, I am a professional journalist. And right. You know probably well, and people who take care of me in this country know this, because they have files on me, I suppose.
Along with political coverage, Vasilyev filed stories on American disasters. This report was about the underground explosion of a nuclear device which injured 12 persons in Nevada. He expected the story would get a good play in Pravda. The irony is that Pravda almost never gives details about Soviet disasters, air crashes and the like. Back in Moscow, foreign correspondents' dispatches are edited by specialists who contribute their own research to reporting from the field. Natasha Larionova is a Pravda editor and writer who specializes on U.S. affairs, mainly because she lived as a child in England and Canada and learned English there. We read a piece that she had written about the U.S. defense budget.
You write in your article, The Klondike for the Militarists, you write, the huge military budget has already taken away from the poor their unemployment benefits, food bonuses, subsidies for health service and education. You make it sound as though people are starving, they're not getting unemployment benefits, they cannot see the doctor anymore, and they can't go to school.
You see, but it's a commonly known that a lot of people, millions of people, are starving in the United States of America.
Commonly known where? In the USSR?
Yes. For example, and that was described in your press, I think, Daily World.
Daily World?
Yes.
That's a communist newspaper in the United States.
Yes, but the information is the same as if they were...
You're a commentator for Pravda? You're 25.
25.
You've never been to the United States.
Never.
This is being read by 50 million people in the USSR on the word of Natasha Larionova.
And you don't agree with me?
Well, I think it is oversimplification.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little.
What does Pravda not print? Pravda has no advertisements, few reports on crime, no comics, no crossword puzzles, no daily record of the courts, no pessimism, no despair, no problems that are unsolvable. And it is dull.
Do you find Pravda a little boring occasionally?
From time to time, yes. Yes.
I think the perception of Pravda in the United States is that it's a propaganda sheet, that it doesn't cover the news, that it is boring. Forgive me.
I cannot agree with you on this at all. Your opinion of our newspaper is not justified. It is not a boring paper. It is a sharp, hard-hitting paper. Our circulation is 10,600,000, of which 9.5 million on subscription. Nobody forces you to subscribe. You subscribe yourself, as well as nobody forces me to subscribe. So, can one say that the paper is boring, no good, or is not needed? No.
In sum, Pravda is surely vastly different from any newspaper that we Americans are used to. And it's not just the interminable propaganda that we would hate, for we like what is missing from Pravda. For instance, the fact is that we like to read about it when the president and the Congress disagree. Besides, of course, we'd miss our advertisements, the comics, the horoscope, news of the public life of private people. Would the Soviets respond as we do to our kind of newspaper? I'm afraid they'll never get the chance to find out.